Good afternoon. Would you turn your Bibles to James chapter 3, letter of James chapter 3. We're coming to the end of chapter 3. In fact, we'll conclude our study in chapter 3. James chapter 3, you know, we'll read the whole section from verse 13, that short section, to 18, the end of the chapter. And our focus this afternoon will be on verses 17 and 18. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conducts, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the word of God. And today, as I said, we come to the third and final sermon in this section of James 3, 13 to 18, and it's been all about wisdom, and this has stretched over a number of weeks because of Christmas, vacation, sickness, and then last week, the EWS. And today we consider the last two verses of chapter 3, and our sermon title is The Beauty of True Wisdom. The Beauty of Heavenly Wisdom, or True Wisdom, or Godly Wisdom. And we have in these two verses, a beautiful picture of what that wisdom which is from above looks like, or should look like, in the heart and in the life of the believer. And just as the fruit of the Spirit for the believer is really a public display and proof of the saving grace in the life of the believer, so here we have the characteristics of the believer who possesses and is growing daily in the wisdom which is from above, from God. And like the fruit of the Spirit, it's brought about by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in the redeemed child of God. And the big question we be considering is, who is wise and understanding among you? And what does true wisdom look like? And he gets down to particulars. And James is all about tests and proofs. Who's wise and understanding? And as our study has gone along, I'm like, I think I'm a lot less wise than I thought I was. And yet the scriptures require us to be wise with the wisdom that is from above. And to call ourselves wise, James narrows it down now to these characteristics. Verse 17 and 18 that we read earlier, but the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It's like a big harvest of righteousness that is sown in peace by those who make peace. And as we look at these characteristics, these things that true wisdom, godly wisdom, proves in our lives that we have it, like persecution for doing good, the world will look at these and say, what? That's not wise? That's weak. And the world will look at these and probably scoff at most of them. And that's why James highlighted for us in the second sermon what earthly wisdom looks like also. But we're going to consider today these six things. It's right out of the text, so no fancy headings, just these six things. And I'll try to be brief, and each one will start with the words, wisdom from above. Firstly, wisdom from above is pure and holy. Wisdom from above is pure and holy. And as we come to each one, I want to ask yourselves, a question. Who is wise and understanding? Am I wise and understanding? Well, does this quality, is this characteristic very evident in my life? Wisdom from above is pure and holy. That is because there is no sin and there is no impurity in God. There is no truth from God that can be influenced or corrupted that would debase it. God and His Word are free from iniquity and any defilements. And in fact, Habakkuk has several complaints before God about what's happening. But during his second complaint in Habakkuk 1:13, he acknowledges, he says, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look on wrong." God is holiness and purity in Himself. The Holy Spirit teaches through the apostle in 1 John 1 and verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him proclaimed to you," what? "That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." So wisdom that comes from God is, first of all, pure and holy. So it's a sign, that this is the sign of wisdom from above, that it will be pure, there'll be nothing mixed in it, and the one who has true wisdom from above must exhibit purity and holiness in his heart and life. And if there is not purity and holiness in your heart, you cannot be truly wise. That person who has true wisdom will not allow any known sin in his heart and in his life to control him, but he puts it aside. He kills it. And this begs the question, if we must be pure and wise, pure and holy to be wise, who then is truly wise? And Proverbs asks the question in Proverbs 20 verse 9, "Who can say, I have made my heart pure? I am clean from my sin." And it's a rhetorical question. Nobody can do that. And yet Jesus stresses this very thing in Matthew 5. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God," implying those who are not pure in heart will not see God. And James implies and says that much. If you do not have purity, holiness, your heart and your life, you cannot have wisdom. Psalm 119, "Blessed are those," it's a condition of blessedness, "whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." Who is wise and understanding among you? And the answer, of course, is that none can make himself blameless, but it is only the pure, holy, and blameless Son of God that can consider and declare the sinner to be blameless by the shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins. If Jesus washes me, I shall be clean and I shall be pure. If I confess my sin, if I repent of my sin, he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And to have this purity, that is where true wisdom starts. It's displayed by a life that is pure and holy in Christ. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the child of God's first care must be spent about the heart. About the heart, everything concerning the heart, where everything starts, where sin starts, where selfishness starts. And where Christ brings purity. And Menton says, "A pure spirit will not brook filthy thoughts, unclean desires, and fleshly counsels." And so a wise Christian is what? It's one who looks not only to his heart to keep that pure and his thoughts to keep that pure, but his life and to guard his steps and to walk in holiness and purity in accordance to obedience to God's word. Having been purified by the blood of Christ, the believer walks in a way so as not to defile his garments. He walks that he keeps himself unstained by the world. True godly wisdom from above not only receives the word of Christ, but he lives in obedience to it, and he's careful to resist and flee every sin, and by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body, walking in holiness and purity. Young people, you can be wiser than the oldest man in the church if you walk in purity and holiness. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Heavenly wisdom holds to truth and holiness. The truth that makes us wise unto salvation and purity and holiness of life, which results from accepting and believing the word of Christ, which James has already told us, by accepting with meekness the implanted word which can save your souls. True wisdom from above is manifest, as James likes to put it, in word and in deed, in heart and in life, in speech and in conduct. And Christ does this for us in the new covenant. And Zephaniah prophesies to this in chapter 3 and verse 9. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to have pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. True wisdom is not that far away. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the implanted word with meekness and obey the gospel. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who washes us pure from all our sins, and walk in obedience to his command. Wisdom from above, that's what it looks like. It's pure and it's holy. We could sit in the second place. Wisdom from above is peaceable. Wisdom from above is peaceable. Peace with God. And the peace of God that we know as believers. These are some of the most precious gifts and a fruit of the Spirit. This is the gospel. It is a gospel of peace. And the announcements, you remember, to the shepherds announcing Christ's birth. What was it all about? To all of those on whom his favor rests. Listen to it, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This was one of the gifts, you remember, that Christ gave to his disciples before he went to his suffering and death. John 14:28, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so we can understand why James names this as the second. The apostle places a high priority on the wisdom from above as being peaceable. The important characteristic of those who have wisdom from above is that we must be peaceable people. They are full of peace as opposed to the bitter jealousy and selfish ambition that is produced by those who have the wisdom of the world. Those things the world considers strengths. And the Christian says, true strength, true wisdom, says the gospel, is found in those who are peaceable. Peaceable. In fact, in our last verse today, James seems to summarize all these characteristics of those who have wisdom from above, and their lives are described as a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom from above develops peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And what is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is one who offers no wrong to others, nor revenge a wrong when it is offered to themselves. This is to have wisdom from above. And I'll ask you, Christian, are your dealings with your fellow brothers and sisters and your dealings with the world, are you a peacemaker? This is how you show you're a child of God. For God is a God of peace. And the believer needs to be characterized by orderliness and self-control, promoting peace, not strife, calming, not stirring up. As Proverbs 15:1 tells us, that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How then should we live? The Holy Spirit through Paul gives us this command. Romans 12 and verse 8. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. The Christian is not a troublemaker. The Christian is not a stirrer. True wisdom is peaceable. I must live in the world. I must be a peacemaker in the church and in the world and under the civil magistrate. I must live a quiet life, minding my own business, as the scriptures teach. And notice that peaceable follows purity, and it depends on it. Listen to this, I quote, "Those who are truly wise do what they can to preserve peace, that it may not be broken, and to make peace, that where it is lost, it may be restored in kingdoms, in families, in all societies, in all interviews and transactions. Heavenly wisdom makes men peaceable, and true Christians will strive to keep peace, to make peace, to preserve peace where it is, and to reduce the loss of it when it is lost." David, King David, he was the wrong party. He was the wrong party. He was chased and hounded by Saul. But he sought peace with King Saul. And consider, brothers and sisters, if you're not the peaceable kind of person, consider this. God, the injured party, sought peace with you. God, the injured party, sought peace with us. We love because he first loved us. The love of God, the peacemaker, led to our justification, so that Paul declares by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that love of God in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The punishment for our sin laid upon Christ brought us peace. Christians are to be peaceable. Peace is the purchase of Christ and the work of his Spirit, who is wise and understanding among you. Wisdom from above is peaceable. Thirdly, wisdom from above is gentle. And I can hear it, the world scoffs. You got to be strong out there. You got to be ruthless out there. You got to make money. You got to be selfish. You got to look to yourself. That's wisdom. And God's word says wisdom from above is gentle. Is gentle. Wisdom from above teaches us to deal with others as God in Christ has dealt with us. Not with impatience or irritation, but with gentleness. Hear the song of Moses at the end of his life. And of course, Moses is known as Jesus is a prophet like Moses, but greater. And to me, this is a prophecy of Christ. Moses says at the end of his life, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the gentle grass and like showers upon the herd. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." And is this not the exact way in which the Savior has dealt with every one of his children? His teaching like gentle rain on a stiff-necked people who continue to sin though he saved them. And Christ deals with us and he teaches us, sometimes with the rod, sometimes with the staff, to lift us out of difficulty and trouble. Yet he deals with each one with mercy and gentleness. And David describes his own experience in 2 Samuel 22, and he quotes himself in Psalm 18 and verse 5, those very words, "You have given me the shield of salvation, your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." Christ's gentleness makes us great. Christian, though God should rightly deal with us in anger and wrath, we deserve nothing but eternal punishment, yet he protects us from his wrath, and he pours it out on Christ Jesus. He gives us the shield of salvation that David was speaking about, and this gentleness makes us great. It makes us sons and daughters of the Most High God. It makes us joint heirs with Christ. When we deserve wrath, he shows us mercy, peace, and gentleness. This characterized the life of the Son of Man on this earth, did it not? In his dealings with people, in the way that he went to the cross, gently, not kicking and screaming like a common criminal, but gently, for the great injustice that was about to happen. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. He remained silent at that great injustice for our sakes. Christ has dealt gently with us. Christ deals gently with my obstinate and proud heart. And I'm sure you'll find that Christ deals gently with you, even in your sin. And he's the kind of shepherd that will leave the 99 and go and find the one that is lost. "Take my yoke upon you," says Christ. "Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart." And that's what heavenly wisdom is. You will find rest for your souls. Wisdom from above shows itself in gentleness. Without gentleness, we cannot claim to be wise. Godly wisdom resides in gentleness. Gentleness is not becoming furious about opinions or harsh with those who oppose us. Gentleness is not being rude and overbearing in conversation, nor harsh and cruel in bad tempers. Jesus was never like that. Isn't it true, when we do something well, something really good, we kind of want people to know about it? I guess that's our remaining sin. We like to be applauded and recognized for this. Well, here is something that we should desire should be noted in us by others. Here's something worth pursuing, something we should desire to be evident in us. Paul gives us a list in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. He mentions all the evil things and the sins of the flesh. He says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, the holy life. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Wisdom from above is gentle. Fourthly, we consider in the fourth place, wisdom from above is open to reason. Wisdom from above is open to reason. There's nothing fun about working for someone or living with someone, which I haven't, who is unreasonable or not open to reason. Young people, I'm sure every one of you goes to a Christian or public school. You've been late for school before. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Owen. And you may say to yourself, well, the reason I got trouble is because the teacher on duty is not reasonable. They are not open to reason. And they will not accept any cause, explanation, or justification for my lateness. Reason. But here, the reason is most likely refers to the verb. To think, to understand, to form judgments by a process of logic, says the dictionary, or reasoning with the facts, which people don't often do or don't only do, but in this case, open to reason in the scriptures. In the scriptures. And wisdom from above is open to reason. A reasonable person would be someone having sound judgment to be fair and sensible. The English dictionary implies heavenly wisdom is open to reason. And the Christian must yield himself to the persuasions of God's word and must be open to reason. No, that can't be true. That can't mean that in the scriptures, because I've always taught it believes that and I don't. Open to reason. Open to reason with our fellow Christians, open to reason with the unbeliever, and to persuade others as the benefit of wisdom and the good counsel from God's word. And if you go to the book of Acts, there are so many references where the Apostle Paul reasoned with unbelievers. And I'll just give you one verse, Acts 18 and verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. Wisdom from above is open to reason in the scriptures with our fellow man, and especially to those outside the church, to implore them, to reason with them, to believe in the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, Paul in fact places this duty upon the church and all believers. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. May God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Open to reason. And I remember back in South Africa, there was a very small group, a few churches of Reformed Baptists, and I was in an Arminian Baptist church, and they were very gracious to be with me, and I was there for the internship for 6 months after finishing seminary, and they very well knew that I was now very Reformed because I had reasoned with them in the scriptures many times. But something that came up in South Africa, and I don't know if it's a problem here, probably too, Reformed believers are sometimes accused of being unbendingly dogmatic and even a little conceited. This was big in South Africa, and we do well to be those who know and to love and to hold to the scriptures, and yet we ought to always be approachable and open to reason. And we need to sit down and go in the scriptures, like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. He took him to the Old Testament and he reasoned and he proved to him that Jesus is the Messiah of God. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, encourages the church to be examples in this grace of Christ, when this heavenly wisdom, as James calls it here, he writes in Philippians 4, verse 5, listen to this, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Wisdom from above is open to reason. We have two left. We consider in the fifth place, wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. Are you wise? Who's wise and understanding among you? Well, it's those here who are full of mercy and good fruits. This characteristic, and the last one, James is directing his readers to what he's already taught and addressed in the book of James. You probably saw true religion, faith and good works, hearers and doers. And he is stressing again, he says, be full of it. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. This is true faith, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It shows itself, true faith, in good deeds of love. And James says, this is wisdom from above. The one who is full of mercy and good fruits. I remind you, James 1:27, there's a lot of texts in James. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Good works and full of mercy, basically. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The true Christian possessing godly wisdom is not a talker. He's primarily a hearer and a listener and a doer and the one who is slow to become angry. And the proof of the true wisdom from above is the Christian who is full of mercy and good fruits. Unfortunately, most of us are full of ourselves. But true wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. He is full of love and mercy and compassion. He is full of good fruits to serve, to help the helpless and the forgotten and the marginalized. He's the one who's always, or she is the one, and he's the one who's always washing the disciples' feet, who's always going the extra mile, who's always caring. He is full of mercy and good fruits. I quote, he is inwardly disposed to everything that is kind and good. And I hear the world scoffing at that. But here's true wisdom from above. He is one who is inwardly disposed to everything that is kind and good, both to relieve those who want and to forgive those who offend, and to do this when proper occasions offer. Wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. How are you doing with your wisdom? I was doing really poorly. Brothers and sisters, we consider the sixth and final place, wisdom from above, and I'm calling this, is without partiality and or hypocrisy. Wisdom from above is without partiality or hypocrisy. Look at verse 17. He says wisdom from above is impartial and sincere. You recall in James chapter 2, this is another one that he's already dealt with in James and addressed the sin of partiality. And now James sets before us impartiality and sincerity as a characteristic of true wisdom from above. We must be impartial and we must be sincere, which is the opposite of hypocrisy. Partiality could be added to that list of wisdom which is from below that we looked at, that bitter jealousy, that selfish ambition when harbored in the heart, and it displays the absence of wisdom from above. and showing partiality and hypocrisy. Those two are close friends, for they are both pretenses. They are just pretend to show someone who looks wise, to show someone who's rich and show him partiality and favor based on his status and his standing in this world. This is partiality, insincerity, or hypocrisy. And we know so well that God sees through that. God looks on the heart while man looks on the outward appearance. God cannot be influenced in any way by man's outward condition or standing in the world. And we've seen Pastor Sam go back into 1 Peter chapter 3, and early on in this chapter, he spoke about the submissive wife and what a Christian's adorning and Christ-like quality should be. And man, I want to remind you that this quality, while should be the quality in a submissive wife, this is a quality that needs to be in every believer, because it's the opposite of partiality and hypocrisy. And he says, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's eyes is very precious. The original word for impartiality is adiakrios. Sam is smiling here. Adiakritos is found only once in the New Testament, and the word means impartial. Those who possess this quality do not make unnecessary distinctions between those who are great and those who are not. And scholars tell us this term also implies firmness. The impartial person is the one who stays with the gospel instead of changes with the time. Stated another way, this quality means a child of God refuses to conform to the new ideas and philosophies of the world. It signifies to be without suspicion or free from judging, making no undue assumptions nor differences in our conduct towards one person more than another. That wisdom which is from above is without hypocrisy. And I quote, it has no disguises or deceits. It cannot fall in with those management which the world counts wise, which are crafty and guileful, but is sincere and open, steady and uniform, consistent with itself. Brothers and sisters, this is what godly wisdom looks like, and we must be guided by this wisdom, not worldly wisdom, which is full of partiality and hypocrisy, but impartial and sincere. And this is what Paul said, a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. He says to the Corinthians, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. And then lastly, in verse 18, James closes these characteristics of true wisdom and what they look like by showing the wisdom from above. This package, all these characteristics, presents a life that will yield a harvest of righteousness. Those who possess these qualities are peacemakers. They live in peace, and they bring the peace of the gospel to the world by their speech and their good conduct. A harvest of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Christian, I say to you again, who is wise and understanding among you? What is wisdom? What does it look like? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And it is the absence of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, which is the wisdom of the world and of the devil. And then he tells us today, this is what it looks like. This is what your heart and your life must look like. Here is true wisdom, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, steady, firm, not influenced, not showing partiality, impartial and sincere. An unbeliever, if you hear today, you may have much knowledge and you may consider yourself a wise person by the standards of this world. I always make wise financial decisions. I always do well at work and I'm first and I look after myself. This is wisdom from above. And this may put you in good standing and in favor with the world, but it is not godly wisdom. And the scriptures have shown us today what godly wisdom from above looks like. And I would urge you, if you don't know Christ today, I would reason with you. May I persuade you to consider finding true godly wisdom that leads to eternal life. Fear God and obey His commandments. Obey the gospel to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And don't think, you have no idea of the sins that I've committed. There is no redeeming for me. There is no reasoning with God. But let me tell you this. Come to God. Come to Christ. The scriptures tell us how He reasons with us. Those who come in repentance and faith, believing in Him. For the sake of His Son, God is open to reason. And He is full of mercy and grace to all those who come to Him. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, says God, let us reason together. No matter what you are, no matter what you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how wise you think you may be, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. It's a matter of the heart. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall become like wool. Come and reason with God. Come believing in His Son, and you too could have godly wisdom, which starts with the fear of the Lord and is full of grace and mercy, compassion, gentleness, open to reason, all these beautiful characteristics that are to be in your heart, believer, and in mine. Who's wise and understanding among you? Well, here it is. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful and the beautiful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you, because of Christ, are open to reason. How we thank you that you make everyone who believes on you, confesses their sins and repents of their sins, calls upon your name, you make us pure and holy, and you are sanctifying your church. Lord, we realize we have a long way to go, but we ask you, as your word encourages us, to ask for wisdom, and you will give it generously without finding fault. Oh Lord, give us godly wisdom. Help us to walk with you and help these characteristics to be evident as we work at our sanctification every day, evident to both believers and outsiders. For we pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.